Avenue.com for more details.
Programming on KFAI is sponsored by NDC and MITA, administrators of DEED's Minnesota Promise Act. The Minnesota Promise Act provides grants and loans for disadvantaged businesses in specific neighborhoods of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Application details can be found at mnpromiseact.org.
Soul of the South Side, celebrating Black culture
and our liberation
through the healing power of community.
Happening on Wednesday, June 19th.
Juneteenth. From 12 to 8 p.m. Enjoy an amazing music lineup or our 55-plus wellness power hour at the Hook and Ladder Theater.
Shop our Black vendor market outside of Moon Palace Books, plus children's book readings and film screenings inside at Moon Palace Books. Stop by the Beer Garden and the Southside We Outside Art Fair at Arbiter Brewing Co.
Take a stroll down to the historic Coliseum building. Enjoy art galleries and kids' activities, historical and immersive educational experiences, plus participate in wellness activities with the community to rejuvenate your mind and body. All on Juneteenth.
Visit soulofthesouthside.com for more information.
Soul of the Southside is brought to you by The Legacy Building in partnership with KFAI.
Hello, Counter Stories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years. In those 10 years, it has always been the four of us: Clee Lee, Luz Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Donald Eubanks. In March of this year, Don passed away. He was our friend, our mentor, and our family member, and he will be greatly missed. Today, we are sharing our 2023 conversation with Lee Jordan of Juneteenth Speaks, a local nonprofit dedicated to recognizing and elevating Black history. Juneteenth was an especially important holiday for Don, as he became involved with planning the annual Juneteenth celebration in Roseville, this year taking place at Roseville Central Park on June 15th.
Welcome to Counter Stories, a podcast by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the state of Minnesota. Any comments or opinions I share are strictly my own and should not be attributed to my employer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate at Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
Joining us today, we have a special guest. Given that we're coming up on Juneteenth season, we thought it would be apropos to invite Brother Lee Jordan to talk with us, who is responsible for a lot of us, one, knowing about Juneteenth for those who didn't grow up in that culture and community, but also some other key accomplishments for Juneteenth. And so I'll let Brother Jordan introduce himself. Welcome, Brother Jordan.
Thank you all for this opportunity. And I say, you're trying to get me in trouble. There's definitely some history of Juneteenth in the state of Minnesota, especially in the Twin Cities. And I've been a part of Juneteenth since about 1980, going to Juneteenth and then becoming part of the committee, and now the Midwestern State Director for the National Juneteenth. So yes, I eat, sleep, and drink Juneteenth, and I love it.
Hey, well, so it's funny. I'm actually recording from the rehearsal space of Rose McGee's play about Juneteenth, where I play Frederick Douglass. And so I'm feeling Juneteenth that ready right now. But Brother Jordan, can you tell us a little bit more, not only about Juneteenth, but we're in a space in the state of Minnesota where Juneteenth is a holiday. And of course, we now have a national holiday for Juneteenth. So can you just give us a little bit of the background just to locate our audience, and then we'll dive in?
Well, first of all, most people, when it comes to Juneteenth, tell the story of General Granger riding into Galveston, Texas to bring the news to the remaining slaves in the Texas area. But understanding that there were 13 states in rebellion. So when it comes to Juneteenth, there are a lot of stories to tell as far as freedom and how important it is. And like I said, Minnesota has had its Juneteenth celebration since about the 1980s. Yeah. And basically Juneteenth, for those that need a definition, is a celebration of freedom, and especially what freedom means here in America, because we are talking about the end of slavery that's, what, 400 years or so? So Juneteenth truly is the celebration of the end of slavery here in America and internationally as well.
I want to thank you, Mr. Jordan, for your efforts and perseverance in all of this. I first came to Minnesota in 1988, and that first summer I was here was the first time I learned about Juneteenth, and I was at Bethune Park. I didn't know that it was your leadership that got us there. And others, as I see you shake your head, so I'll stand corrected there. But it's been a real gift to our community here to have that celebration and acknowledgement and validation. And I can't help but to think about the time that we're in right now, where there are particular factions of elected officials who are trying to erase history, right? And so not only were we as a large population across our country deprived of learning about Juneteenth in our textbooks, right? Everyone was taught about the Emancipation Proclamation, but they conveniently left out the Juneteenth aspect, and folks still being uninformed and having to withstand the horrific circumstances that they were put in against their will. So to have this now be the national holiday and state holiday that's official now because the governor signed off on it and signed the bill. And I wanted to hear your thoughts about how you see this dichotomy, in society, where there are, as I said, there are large factions within elected leaders and political parties who are trying to erase it. And here you are shepherding the awareness of this and the importance of it, just kind of that tension, that dissonance that we're feeling for ourselves and community.
Well, the one thing that I can say, and I can only speak for me personally, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people do agree with me. When we actually talk about history itself, a lot of the history and the contributions of people of color, not just African-American people, but people of color, period, are starting to come to the light. So it is sort of I won't say the responsibility, but it should be something that everyone wants to pick up, because to give honor to your ancestors gives you life, gives you breath, gives you strength. It gives you the foundation in which to move your life forward. So Juneteenth is a big part of that. And any other celebration that brings about a better understanding of what freedom means here in America, we all should put our shoulders to that wheel.
I think that's so apropos to the community that, after news of freedom began to spread amongst these folks who were trying to keep slavery going, even after the course of the Emancipation Proclamation, which, of course, you mentioned earlier, if I'm in rebellion against the Union, I'm not going to listen to the rules you try to place on me. But then also, even after the passage of the 13th Amendment and folks still need, I mean, it's 1865 that we celebrate on June 19th, and even after that, folks continue to try to keep that news from spreading. And folks collectively, one left. I came from a family who left. We have this idea based on some of the early news stories that folks, stayed and were compliant and good, happy, happy Black folks. And in my family's history is one of folks putting on the facade of a happy and got the attention of all the folks around, say, watch us have a good time here. We'll sing John Brown. We'll sing all these different hymns and we'll make you real happy. In the meantime, everybody else in the family was packing.
Yeah, we're making plans.
Yep.
And the thing that I was at Bloomington the other night, where they signed a proclamation for Juneteenth for Bloomington, the city. At first, the the proclamation was for pride. And then Juneteenth came, you know, for the next proclamation. And then there was one for economics and home, a better environment for home buying for people of color and so forth and so on. And I thought to myself, Juneteenth needs to be first, because if we didn't have the rebellion and the movement, you know, by people of African American descent that were former slaves, or then everything else wouldn't have happened, because everything else kind of started from that point, as far as how do you fight not being put into a situation that you don't want to be put into? How do you find a way around, you know, the laws and the restrictions that have been placed upon you? And so to me, Juneteenth is a celebration of freedom, and none are free until we all are free. Yeah. But that's, you know, once again, that's my opinion, but it's the one that I kind of stand by.
This is Counter Stories. You're listening to a special rerun of our 2023 Juneteenth episode with co-hosts Anthony Galloway, Luz Maria Frias, and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guest Lee Jordan.
I think I just happened to stumble upon that very first celebration that was at Bethune Park, and that area changed, because I actually grew up in the Sumner Field Projects, and Bethune didn't exist when I was there. The school was called Grant. It was Grant Elementary School. And it was after we moved out of the projects that they tore the old Grant Elementary School down and built Mary Bethune Elementary School in the same site. I just happened to be in North Minneapolis and caught wind. A friend of mine said that they were having this celebration over in the park. You know, we didn't call it Bethune Park. It was just the park. It was just the park over there by the projects.
By the project.
And so I wandered over there, and that was the Juneteenth celebration. And that's when I first heard the story. And I remember getting angry. You know, I remember getting angry when they shared the story that, you know, a couple of years after the Emancipation Proclamation was made, that, you know, individuals in the South that were part of the rebellion were, you know, took great efforts to not inform their property that mm-hmm. they were indeed free. And, and to continue to enslave individuals and force them to work, among other things. And so I remember getting angry when I heard that story. And I know Luz talked about how, you know, right now we have efforts among those same states, as a matter of fact, are passing laws and legislation prohibiting the teaching of history.
Race theory, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they frame it under critical race theory, mm-hmm. although I haven't got a single individual who brings that up to be able to explain to me what it is.
Exactly.
But it's the idea that
it's a dressed up pig.
Yeah, you know, we can't talk about events that happened in this country to us because it might hurt a young white child's feelings. I mean, think about that. I mean, it just the reasoning for that just doesn't even comprehend within me sometimes. It just makes no sense.
Just remember, this is the same people that came up with separate but equal.
True. I mean, they came up with a lot.
Yes.
And they continue to do
come
it.
Up
I mean,
with a lot.
It's like we're recycling, and we're hearing the same arguments that were made prior to the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, for justification to separate from the Union. We've heard these same tropes after Reconstruction. that ended Reconstruction and started Jim Crow. I mean, it's cyclical. We go through this cycle and we're now in another cycle that has kind of divided this country. You know, they did tell us that, you know, the Civil War divided the country, and it'll be interesting how this phase in our current situation will be taught 5-10 years from now. You know, because to me, we're going through another phase in this country's history of this dividedness that has always kind of existed for white Americans and everyone else.
Well, one of the things that's important for me is, once again, is I try and bring history to the Juneteenth celebrations that I'm a part of, and as the state director. So let's say, for instance, when we talk about the story of General Granger being in Galveston, Texas, the one part that most people have no really idea about.
Come on, Brother Jordan. I can't wait. Come on.
That there were 19,000 U.S. colored troops that were there at the same time. So how can we not tell the story of these amazing men and women? Because we're talking about Miss Taylor, who was the first Black nurse for the U.S. colored troops.
That's right.
So the history is there.
That's right.
And Juneteenth, you know, like I said, is supposed to be, you know, this part where we take a moment to, as I like to say, there's a moment of celebration and there's a moment of commemoration. Yeah. The celebrating part, there's a little bit more on one side than it is on the other. Because we are definitely talking about, you know, our ancestors. So we want to make sure, once again, that we give them, you know, what's the old, why don't you rise and give God the glory? Well, I feel the same way about our ancestors. We need to rise and give them the glory, because they are the shoulders in which we're standing on. So when it comes to a Juneteenth celebration, there should be, you know, a bigger sort of wailing, you know, within our spirits, you know, to give our ancestors what is so due them. And right now I'm trying to make sure that we have a minimum of 2 U.S. colored troops at every Juneteenth celebration here in the Twin Cities, to make sure we start telling that story. Because like I said, there were 19,000 of them there. And each of them has a story to tell as well. And that connects up each and every one of us.
See, it's little nuggets like that, Brother Jordan, you have been a jewel for us in our thinking. I'm part of the Duluth festivities that are happening around the Twin Ports area. There's 3 different main festivals happening in the area around Duluth and Superior, plus a bunch of smaller events throughout, the Elders Luncheon and the Juneteenth Gospel Brunch and all these different things. And it was that point that you brought up. I can't remember where I saw you, heard you talk about that, but our leadership team was like, oh, we got to do that to find and make sure that we have veterans, Black veterans in particular, that we have in our community that we're going to represent and make sure to honor, because that is a huge thing. You know, we give General Gordon Granger all this credit, but you had to have a whole lot of troops backing you up in a place that was disappearing folks quick just for talking about freedom.
Well, if you can imagine, if you're a slave, if you were never taught to read and write, yeah. But if you saw someone who looked like you in a uniform with a gun walking through the street, you would go, wait a minute. I think Massa ain't telling us something.
Yeah.
And then you start to put, as they say, you start putting 2 and 2 together, and you start to realize that, wow, so this is what they were talking about when they talked about freedom. Yeah. And where did, and that's the other thing too. You know, if you have no real concept of what the word freedom means, we've always created, you know, this, you know, and this is not just African American, but this is anyone within a situation that they really don't want to be in. they've always been able to create an energy for themselves that somehow catches home to someone else, and then they catch on, and they and someone else, and so forth and so on. So there is definitely an energy that is at the Juneteenth celebration that you don't get at the 4th of July. And trust me, I love barbecuing on the 4th of July, but I also love the history that's connected with Juneteenth that, once again, that's slowly and surely coming to the front.
You don't need, I think that many, well, I'll speak for myself. The 4th of July, you're right, is a time for family to get together because the whole country recognizes that. But it has never meant to me, as someone who is a Black Indian, a Black Native, I'm Black Ojibwe, Anishinaabe, but the 4th of July has never had that same meaning for me in terms of our independence.
Come on,
because, you know, because who was free? You know, one half of me was enslaved, and the other half, they tried to annihilate and kill us off so they could and took our land. Yep. So that they could give it to white immigrants and white Europeans that moved to this country. So for me, the 4th never had that true meaning of true independence. And so much like you, Juneteenth has taken on that, you know, a different meaning. I'm trying to think if there's, you know, in my mind, I can't think of anything comparable that I would be able to celebrate on my native side, you know, something that corresponds with that. And then the other thing you've shared, you know, because I think I may have heard that tidbit before, but the fact that you mentioned that there were 19,000 Black troops that accompanied this general to Texas in order to deliver this message. Those are, you know, Anthony, you know, framed it as, you know, these nuggets of history, but to me, they're more than nuggets. Those are the foundations that allow us to stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. But if we're never taught that, if that is never shared with us, then it makes it, we feel like we're just muddling around, that, you know, these things didn't happen, right? Because they were never taught, they're never shared, and purposely, right? I mean, you know, on previous programs on Counter Stories, I've shared an experience I had when I was in college at McAllister, taking an early American history class. And it was studying a town called Oneida back in the 1600s. And after the second or third day, I asked the professor one question, and that was, how can we study this time period without talking about any of the natives that were there at that time? And her answer was very profound. She told me, we study history from the perspective of those who conquered, not those who were vanquished. And that was, you know, and people thought that was harsh. I didn't think it was harsh. I thought it was the most honest thing I had heard in the classroom in a long time. So I immediately dropped that history class, and thank God Dr. Mahmoud El-Khati was teaching at McAllister at that time, and he took me under his wing, and that's when my education really began in terms of helping to identify who my ancestors were and where we did indeed come from. But not everybody has that. You know what I mean?
Everyone should.
And, I mean, we had done another story with one of our hosts when we were at a different radio station at that time. And I think the rest of you guys will remember this. It was after the Philando Castile shooting. But he asked us, well, that's a little bit out of context, but one of the questions he brought up to us, it was after we saw Hidden Figures. Mm. And he asked us, what else is there in our historical background that we, that, you know, that we wanted to share? And if I remember correctly, we were all silent, because how can you bring up instances if you don't know about them?
True.
Does that make sense? I mean,
yes,
none of us really had, could give him anything, because we don't know, because we weren't taught. It was never shared with us. It was one of those profound moments.
This is Counter Stories. You're listening to a special rerun of our 2023 Juneteenth episode with co-hosts Anthony Galloway, Luz Maria Frias, and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guest Lee Jordan.
Yeah, I'm on a planning committee here in Roseville. And there's a group that kind of that calls themselves Do Good Roseville. And they have, and there are members of that group and other community members who back in, it was maybe 2017 or 2018, got together and we gathered and put together a small Juneteenth celebration in Central Park. And, it, you know, there was maybe 30 of us there. And, you know, I kind of spoke about what Juneteenth was, and we had about two, three other people. Well, it's grown. So now the city of Roseville actually is helping sponsor. Lee Jordan came in, attended a couple of our meetings, and we learned so much through Lee in terms of what happens at some Juneteenth celebrations.
I'm one of the people that says, I really don't care where you celebrate Juneteenth as long as you do it.
That's right.
you just need to be there, because truly there is an energy that you don't get anywhere else. And I want people to tap into that energy.
And a footnote to all that's been said, there are many ways to celebrate. So it's a both and, it's not an either or. It's also about supporting Black-owned businesses, yes. In my mind. There is a link that we can put on our program, Minnesota Black-Owned Business Directory, and the site is mnblackbusiness.com. And it's about really being intentional about empowering communities that have been marginalized by the mainstream public, but also beginning to understand that your support, our support of Black businesses are year-round and not just only Absolutely. On a particular date. So I would add that to another way to honor.
And I would like to talk to you about that as well, too, the ways that we can work together to, you know, to help bring that message about, because I've been talking to the Small Business Administration and like that they need to up their game, too. So
that's right.
Please let's communicate to each other and take this to the next level.
Absolutely.
Well, Brother Jordan, I'm so glad to have had you on to talk with us and put a little fat on all of our heads as it pertains to celebrating Juneteenth. And I'll leave our audience with this quote. Mariah Cooley says that June 19th reminds me that I am the force of power to change this world and to follow in the footsteps of my ancestors to work towards liberation. Thank you for joining us. This has been Counter Stories. I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the state of Minnesota. Any comments and opinions I've stated are strictly my own and should not be associated with my employer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
And Brother Jordan, if you'll sign off yourself.
My name is Lee Jordan. I'm the Midwestern State Director for the National Juneteenth. And as we like to say, all things Juneteenth.
And as a famous storyteller said, stepped on a pin and the pin bent. And that's the way the story went. We'll see you next time.
This has been Counter Stories, a co-production of the Counter Stories crew and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.